Welcome to the FUMS Now podcast show, where you'll gain information, inspiration, and motivation for living your best life with multiple sclerosis. Find us online at FUMSnow.com. I'm your host, Kathy Reagan Young. My guests today are identical twins that both have MS. It's such an interesting story. But first, let me remind you that you can share your FUMS spirit with the world by wearing some FUMS merchandise available over at FUMSnow.com/shop. And if you aren't on the FUMS newsletter list, do yourself a favor and sign up. I do all the work for you. I curate articles and studies and points of interest. It's the top six topics in MS for that week. It's called the FUMS Six Pack, and you can sign up for it at FUMSnow.com/get the scoop. Tammy and Terry Haber, now Tamara Khan and Terry Horde, are twin sisters that were both diagnosed with MS 20 plus years ago. They've created an MS patient advocacy called Twins Coast to Coast to inspire, empower, support, and educate others about MS. Their intent is to simply tell their story, imperfections and all, and hope that it connects and resonates with those going through the challenges of multiple sclerosis. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, we're so happy to be with you, Kathy.
I'm so happy you're here. What an interesting story you have. It's really something. You're identical twins, which if anybody's watching the video, they're really identical twins, like full on had to ask which one was which. More than once. Would you mind sharing your pre-diagnosis stories? Who were each of you before your diagnosis?
Sure. Tamara, would you like to go first?
Well, sure, Kathy. Hi, this is Tamara. I am the oldest identical twin by 8 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
But our MS story began looking back when we were young. So we were diagnosed in our late 20s. But our MS story really began when we were about 10 years old, wouldn't you say, Terry?
I would say about 10 years old, yes. We would get terrible pains in our legs, and we just had no idea what was going on. Our grandmother would rub Vicks vapor gel all over our legs, and we would go, wow, this feels so cooling and so good.
Yeah.
And for a few moments of the day, we would have relief. And really, we were worked up by several pediatricians. And at that time, in the 70s, they really did not know a lot about MS in general. But pediatrics, they just thought we were having growing pains.
Oh, yeah.
So this is Terry. Fast forward to about age 13 to 16. We were very athletic. We loved to run. We played tennis. We were in dance classes such as ballet, jazz, tap. And we would always notice, very busy, and we would always notice at the end of whatever we were doing, tingling in our legs. Mm-hmm. So I would say that was really our first symptoms, the numbness and tingling in our legs from a very early age. So Tamara, take from 13, 16 on.
I'd be glad to. Kathy, when we were both 15, Terry and I were diagnosed with the Epstein-Barr virus.
Oh, that's important as we know now, don't we?
So, as we know in the news lately, scientists have found that the Epstein-Barr may be a trigger to the immune system, and MS can flare up from there. I truly believe when Terry and I were both sick and we were both hospitalized,
that
triggered our MS looking back.
And how old were y'all?
We were 15.
Okay, 15.
Probably 15 years old. But having said that, in the recent studies, they say that the Epstein-Barr triggers MS, which it may, but we did have symptoms when we were younger, like Terry mentioned, the legs, the quote, growing pains that we weren't sure was going on.
Yeah.
When we were about 17, seniors in high school, we were on the varsity high school tennis team, and we were growing up in Florida, Tampa, Florida. Mm-hmm. September in Florida is very hot, very humid. And there were about 12 people on the tennis team, and Terry and I would run laps. All 12 had to run laps around the field for warm-up. Terry and I were the only two that would stop midway with terrible tingling, terrible burning pains in our legs. Little did we know that was most likely symptoms, early onset symptoms of MS.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, we were perceived by our tennis coach as lazy and not wanting to run. So we were actually kicked off the team at that time.
Oh my gosh.
Of our symptoms. That kind of began our MS journey.
Yeah.
Mary, do you want to talk about a little bit in your 20s what happened?
Sure. So looking back on after graduation of high school, we moved on to college. And at that time, I had a relapse of the mono and Epstein-Barr. And I was hospitalized again. Tamara fortunately did not have mono at that time. And I was back in the hospital, so sick. I was in ICU. And Whoa. For Tamara, that was pretty scary. Mm. So that, again, nobody was looking into why I was so sick. All the symptoms of the tingling were all there. We talked to the doctors about them. And they just said, well, you know, again, it's just growing pains and just don't worry about it and move forward. But then in our 20s, our mom was diagnosed with cancer. Mm. And when we were 13, and the stress of all of that was very difficult. And after our mother died at age 24, I had a bout of optic neuritis. And at that time, I couldn't figure out, you know, I was going to ophthalmologist. I was going to neuro-ophthalmologist, and I may have not been going to the right people because they just did not diagnose me.
Still didn't find it. Oh my gosh.
No,
what? I just have to interrupt for a second because I found your story of suffering trauma prior to your diagnosis so interesting and relatable. I hear this all the time. It's as if MS is like laying in wait. And when you feed it trauma, it rises from the dormant stage. So obviously great trauma losing your mother. And it was after that that you were diagnosed, right?
That's exactly right.
Hi, this is Tamara. And I have to tell you one experience. My mother passed away. A week later, my fiance at the time, we flew out to California. At the time, we were living in Atlanta, Georgia. And one of my first early experiences with a major episode was the week after my mother died. Mm. We were walking in the wine country, having a beautiful walk through the vineyard. And all of a sudden, my legs again, stinging, burning, and then for the first time, numbness. I couldn't walk. I was stuck. And my husband said to me, Tamara, you're just out of shape. We haven't taken walks like this in a while. You know, multiple sclerosis was the farthest from our mind.
Sure. Why would you think that?
Absolutely. Again, this was in the early 90s. There wasn't much known about MS at that time.
Right. Oh my gosh, yes. So just to throw mine in, which I'm sure listeners have heard me say repeatedly, but so I was diagnosed in February of 2008. Back it up just a titch to October 2007, Halloween actually, our dear friend's five-year-old daughter was diagnosed with inoperable brain cancer. And my kids were dear friends with her. So we were over there every day, and it was unbelievably stressful and traumatic and awful. And then on Thanksgiving, so just a few weeks beyond that, 3 weeks later, my dad had a stroke and died. So it was, you know, boom, boom, boom. And then I was diagnosed. I mean, I just woke up one day and, you know, had double vision and fatigue and Bell's palsy, all that kind of thing. But I say all this to say, this is just one more example. And I hear this all the time. It's like, it's just waiting. It's just sitting there.
That's
it's our MS puzzle, right? So there's it's almost as if, not almost as if, I think this is true. Most of us have the EBV virus.
Yeah.
You add a little trauma, and there's probably, you know, other things, environment, nutrition, who knows? But there are all these components, and when they line up just right, that's when you get that MS.
So that's right.
I hear you, and I lived the same thing, I think, trauma.
It is. Trauma does, and you do find that in so many things. But like you said, MS is so sneaky, and then it's like an aha moment. Yes. It's like, I'm here. And now let's deal with it.
Announcing itself all of a sudden.
Yes, right.
So were you two diagnosed together or separately?
Separately. Okay. So this is Terry. So I was diagnosed first. So again, my symptoms arose with the optic neuritis in August of 1992. Went to multiple appointments. No one could figure it out. I got married and I said, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm going to enjoy my 20s and have fun. So I got married. I had my first daughter at 27. And a month later, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis formally. So prior to being getting pregnant, I was being worked up for possible multiple sclerosis. My dad's neighbor was an ophthalmologist. And actually, he was the first one. He was a young doctor right out of school. And I'll tell you, these young doctors, I have to say, they know a lot. You know, yeah. They're just energetic and thriving.
They're newly minted and they're still on top of their shit.
Exactly. And sometimes I prefer that over the doctors. Right.
Yeah.
So anyhow, he said, David, I think Terry has MS. And my dad, I was standing there in our driveway and neither one of us really knew what MS was. So I started my journey in late 1992. And like I said, I stopped when I got pregnant. And then I had my daughter in July of 1995. And I wasn't feeling well about 2-3 months afterwards. And then I was diagnosed late 1995. And that was my journey of diagnosis. And at the time, in 1995, Avonex was just released by the FDA. And that was my first treatment of a DMT was Avonex.
Wow.
And then Tamara's story is a little similar.
I'm going to get to that in just a second. I just want to ask you, Terry, how did you feel during pregnancy?
I felt great.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. I had energy. My symptoms really went away. No optic neuritis, very little tingling. And I just, like I said, I just went on with my happy life, excited about delivering a little baby girl. And my future looked very bright at that time.
Right.
I was working and I had this little girl in my life. It was the best.
Well, and as I know, I'm confident you all know, this is a typical story too. When people are, women are pregnant, they feel so good. In fact, I always said if pregnancy did not result in another child, I would be pregnant my entire life because I felt so damn good and I had so much energy and nothing hurt and it was great. And right until about 6 months after pregnancy and then all hell broke loose, but typical story, story.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm sorry, Tamara.
I wish they would come up with a medication.
Yeah.
Model.
Well, you know, I know they're doing a lot of research with estrogen. Obviously, there's some estrogen components in this puzzle that we're all trying to solve. Yes. So bring it on. Anyway, I'm sorry, Tamara. I had to interject that though. But so what's your DX story?
Well, my story is, of course, when Terry was diagnosed in 1995, it made me very sad. And also, at that time, I didn't know what multiple sclerosis was. There wasn't information out there. There wasn't, you couldn't Google.
No Dr. Google yet.
We didn't have Dr. Google. Even the physicians, when they explained to you you had MS, you didn't really understand that it was a, you know, it affected your brain, it affects your spine, it's a central nervous system disease. We didn't have that information. Right. So for me, my diagnosis, It was after my second baby. For me also, my pregnancies were wonderful. I felt great. My children are 16 months apart. And when my youngest was 3 months old, I was carrying both my babies down the stairs and my left arm gave out. Well, I wasn't going to drop a baby. That's for sure. No mom is going to drop a baby.
Right.
I ended up getting her in a safe place and I called my husband. My husband is a radiologist. He's a physician. And I said to him, I said, Steve, the strangest thing just happened. And it feels as though it could be an MS-like symptom. He said to me, Tamara, this is in your head. You're having empathy pains for Terry, and I'm so sorry. But because you're having these symptoms, come on into my office. We will do an MRI. And we're just going to rule out that there's no MS.
I'm going to prove to you that you do not have MS. Yeah,
absolutely. And that we're going to go forward and we're going to support your sister. I went the next day and I went to the MRI. And for all of us that have never had an MRI, those are quite intimidating. That there is a large machine that makes lots of noise.
So damn loud. Yes.
Very loud and unexpected. They pulled me out of the MRI machine. I walked into my husband's office looking for great news. And I looked at him. He looked at me. And with his eyes, I knew our life was going to be forever changed.
Oh.
And that's at that moment, he said, Tamara, it looks like from your brain MRI, there are signs of multiple sclerosis. We were very blessed. We live by Stanford University. So I went to go see some specialists there, went through the whole MS workup, and I was also diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, which actually took our doctors by surprise that two identical twins
were
diagnosed with the same disease.
That is so interesting. Have you all participated in any research on twins with MS? I don't even know if there's been any, but...
You know, there has been, and my MS center is the MS Center of Atlanta, is very active in research, but they're doing research on medications, not really twins. And there was a study, many, many years in a different state, and they have done identical twin studies. We'll have to look at them. I'm not sure exactly what the research of that study was, but I do know it's rare for identical twins to be diagnosed with MS. And our journeys have been just very similar, but also very different. So we're mirror twins. So if you see on our website, it says Twins Coast to Coast. Underneath it, it says mirror twins. And people may want to know, what is a mirror twin?
Yeah.
Well, a mirror twin is, I'm a lefty, Tamara is a right-handed gal. And we do everything opposite.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And our MS symptoms were opposite as well, but the same. So any doctor listening out there, we are a perfect, perfect twins to study because we're just so similar in our diagnosis and we're pretty progressed now. Secondary progressive. MS, I'm in a wheelchair full time. Tamara is getting there, not quite as progressed as myself, but our symptoms are identical.
Wow. That is mind blowing. I'm glad you clarified mirror twins. That's interesting. I've never heard that term before.
Very few of us out there.
Yeah. So interesting. Yeah. The doors to the Patients Getting Paid membership community are now wide open. This is a community of people with chronic illness learning to find and create flexible remote work that accommodates their health. I call us chronicpreneurs. There are trainings, coaching calls, networking opportunities, co-workings, and a ton of resources. Want to take better care of yourself and still generate an income? Join us at patientsgettingpaid.com. in your intake doc, you mentioned that you both did things in high school and college, obviously before diagnosis, to accommodate your symptoms, even, you know, before you were diagnosed. Like you mentioned, scheduling classes early due to fatigue. I think that's fascinating because I think a lot of us were doing that without recognizing it. Can you share anything else that you did like that, that now you look back and you go, oh yeah,
that makes yes. sense. Go ahead, Tam.
This is Tamara. So Kathy, we're, you know, identical twin sisters. We don't have any brothers or sisters. We're the only right? The other twin. So when we went to college, doesn't everybody schedule an 8 a.m. class? Everybody come back from their classes in the morning, take a nap for 2 hours?
Only if you went out the night before.
That's right.
If you're going out that night, wouldn't you take another nap to get your energy back? So our symptoms modeled each other. So nothing was a flag. No red flag went up because we had identical symptoms and without having any other siblings.
Right. Thought that was normal.
This was normal.
What everybody did. Yeah. Did y'all? Go ahead.
We took the same classes and we did. We finished our classes by 10 a.m., 11 a.m. every day. And those afternoon classes we tried to avoid if possible.
Yeah. So did you all go to school together?
We did. We
were of course you did. That's
so I know.
I love it.
University of Florida, and it was wonderful.
Oh, yay. Okay, so at what point did y'all start your patient advocacy and share what that looks like, please?
So we started our patient advocacy. This is Terry. We've always been very involved in volunteering. And most of my volunteering was focused with our children. So it was with my daughter's dance school, as well as their school that they went to, which was like almost like a university campus. It's K-3 all the way up to 12th grade. So I was very involved in the arts and I was president of the Patrons of the Arts. And it was like a full-time job and I had a full-time job. So it was just wonderful. And we were, now I've got the MS fog going because now... Kathy, what was your question? What direction was I going there?
Your patient advocacy, how did that start?
Patient advocacy. So it devolved all around the volunteering. So when our girls went off to college, we were bored. And we said, where do we want to put our focus on for fundraising and volunteering? And it just made sense to do something with multiple sclerosis. Mm. So I participated with the National MS Society, their leadership program back in 2020. I also was an advocate for the state of Georgia for the different bills and different things that were going through that the MS Society was participating in. And very proud of it because I was super involved in the medical marijuana bill that passed last year.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We all say thank you. Yeah.
Yes.
I know, different state, but Virginia got it passed too. So hallelujah.
Yay. So I've always had a calling. From the time that our mom was sick, we were always looking to help, volunteering with the National Cancer Society when we were younger or with our school. So there's always been that. We want to make people aware of what's going on. So that's kind of how it all developed. And now I'm a trustee for the National MS Society for the state of Georgia. Mm. And I'm involved in so many areas of that. I'm a co-chair for the leadership class last year and this year. I'm still part of the advocacy program and mentoring. And it's a lot of fun. And then our wonderful Twins Coast to Coast was born a few years ago. And we are just so proud of that because this is who we are. So not only can we advocate for the National MS Society, our baby is the Twins Coast to Coast and it is our joy. And that's where our focus is.
This is Tamara, Kathy. And another thing that why we wanted to create Twins Coast to Coast is we found it's nice to share our story with other people living not only with multiple sclerosis, but with chronic diseases, that there is more to life than just your disease. That is one of our platforms that we share our story. And it is, our motto is the good, the bad, and the funny. There are some good things that have come out of MS. There are some bad things. And we want to be open with people that not every day is going to be your best day. But please reach out to people who share your experience, whether it's MS, whether it's chronic disease. We want to make people aware that they're not alone, that you're not living by yourself. And that's the best thing that has come out of our advocacy and our Twins Coast to Coast, is to have a place for people to come to reach out. If they feel lonely, they can direct message us. We get right back to them. We share our stories. And you can ask us anything. We'll answer any question you have.
I love that. So one of my questions I had for you, I think you've just answered. It was, what is the intention of your advocacy? And to me, what you just said is, what I heard you say, is to offer your story and offer sort of a soft place to land for people and learn about the disease. And you're offering support and hope.
That's right.
Yeah.
And another thing, Kathy, is when living with a chronic disease and living with a disease that has no cure, for some people, their MS stays in remission for years, and it's a wonderful thing. Other people, like for Terry and I, our MS has been progressive and aggressive. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I like to tell people is, please don't feel guilty for getting worse. There's nothing you've done. You've done everything you can. And some people I've heard, they will tell me, Tamara, I've lost hope. Mm. I just don't see any hope. And what I try to share with people is, you know, I understand hope is something we all reach out for. And I always tell people, let's see, try to find some peace in your life. How does that feel? If you look at living with a chronic illness, find some peace. Where would you find that in your life? And go forward in life with peace. Don't feel the hope. There's always peace and love, and surround yourself with people who are supportive. And that is one of our goals with Twins Coast to Coast, is that we are a support system for people. We love to share our story. We have different companies that we love. We'll share with people the companies that we benefit from, as far as just from using their products. And that's what we're for.
I love that. So it sounds like sharing your story has been helpful for you as well as others. True?
Oh, it has. It's so, I mean, you talk with people and you walk away and you go, that really uplifted me for the day. Whether they gave us some information about their lives that we just clicked with, or just we gave people information, like Tamara said, for hope and joy in their lives. And it's just marvelous. It really is delightful. And with COVID now opening up new places and all, Amen. Yay. We are doing things in person now with the MS Society and with Twins Coast to Coast, with speaking engagements, et cetera. So it's just thrilling to be able to see people that we talk to over Zoom or we FaceTimed, and we can actually give them a big hug.
Oh, I can't wait to hug you both. I want to hug you both.
Yes, absolutely. But it's the hugs that Tamara and I miss. And it's just that touch that you feel when you meet people, and the encouragement that you give when you give a hug, a simple hug.
Yeah, so true. I often say helping others feels selfish because it feels so good. You know what I mean? And if you are having a down day or you're not feeling good or whatever, help somebody else and you will not believe how uplifted you are from it, right? I mean, it sounds like that's how you all feel about your advocacy as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, true. It does make a difference. You mentioned that your social media, about your social media presence in your intake doc, but you have a wonderful website. So if people want to find out more about you two or what you're up to, where should they go? Give me the URLs, the social media, all that. Where can they go to find out more about you and get involved with your advocacy?
So this is Terry. You can go to www.twins with an S. So it's T-W-I-N-S Coast, the number 2coast.com. And you can find our beautiful website. And you can navigate through so many things. We have wonderful blogs that we have written, stories about us when we were young, stories about us now, different companies that we invite, our YouTube channels, and everything. But the best way to go is to find us. The link on everything is to go to our Instagram. And our Instagram also is Twins Coast, the number 2 Coast. So Coke Twins. Coast to Coast is our handle, except for Facebook. And Facebook is Twins Coast T-O,
oh.
Coast to Coast. So it's Coast to Coast,
gotcha.
All written out. So those are our handles. Very easy and simple.
That is easy.
We would love folks to reach out to us. Also go to our YouTube and see all the fun things. It's really a fun intro. We based it off of The Office. Who doesn't like watching The Office?
Right.
Chilly and uplifting too. It's just fun. You just kind of, you know, all your worries go away when you watch The Office.
Right.
So our intro is like The Office intro. So you'll
Fantastic.
See our family and you'll get to hear them talk. So please, everybody listening to this, go to our YouTube channel, comment, like, and subscribe.
I love it. I love it. I love what you ladies are doing. I love your spirit. And I feel talking to you today like I got a hug. So I look forward to when it's not virtual anymore. But thank you. Thank you for the virtual hug anyway.
Yes.
Thank you for having us and inviting us to your podcast today.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad you were here. And I'm so glad to amplify your advocacy. I mean, there's so much to be done and there's so much love that's needed out there. I'm grateful that we're all joining together to support each other.
Yes, you do a beautiful job, Kathy.
Thank you. Now for the, you know, best part.
Yes.
Not the best part. Just talking to you was great, but you know what's coming.
Yes, we do.
We here in the FUMS Nation speak to the stupid disease as it deserves, and we tell it FUMS every day. Would you two please be so kind as to lead us in that salute?
Yes.
With middle fingers extended, of course.
Yes, there we go. Ready?
Okay, we'll do it on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
FUMS.
Yay! That was double trouble. I loved it.
That's right.
Thank you, ladies, so much. Really appreciate all you're doing, and I appreciate you so much being here today. Thank you. Quick shout out to Steve Woodward at podcastingeditor.com for the fantastic work on this podcast, including editing, show notes, and ingenious ideas. If you'd like help with your podcast, whether you're just starting out or an old pro, visit podcastingeditor.com and tell Steve I sent you. Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate you listening to the FUMS podcast show. Be sure to subscribe to it so you won't miss an episode. You can do that right on the website at fumsnow.com. While you're there, sign up for the free email list so you'll be among the first to know of any new findings in MS research, new therapies and products, as well as any blog posts and podcast episodes I release. Want to chat with others in the FUMS community? Join us on Facebook at FUMS Now. Thanks again, and don't forget to talk to the stupid disease as it deserves. Tell it FUMS every day.